Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. In his message titled, Written on the Reel, Reverend David Williams tells us that life can be stressful and tense. Leave the technology at home and go for a walk to see God's creation. Let His creation and blessings take over your life and let them calm you. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in this place on this day, coming out of lives that are complicated, but that we've learned our way through. We each have rhythms and patterns of life that we know. And from that knowledge, from that certainty, we move day by day, step by step, certain that we know what we're doing. Or at least most of the time, we think we know what we're doing. The challenge in that knowledge, though, is that sometimes we have ways of knowing, ways of remembering, ways of thinking of the world that blind us to grace, that cause us to, instead of showing a new grace to a new person or welcoming in a new way of life, we close that off because it is unfamiliar, because it is different. And in that difference, it makes us afraid. Let's now acknowledge that we struggle with that. Let's acknowledge that we close off those new graces that God offers every day. Let's do that in the prayer of confession that you can find in the bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, we are complex creatures. It's how you made us, and it can be a blessing. We have many gifts and many graces, and many ways we can care for and serve others. But in our complexity is mingled deep shadow, one that rises from us and from our culture. We bear with us resentments and hatreds, anxieties and fears, and they can become as deeply a part of us as the gifts we've been given. Help us, gracious one, to tell our light from our darkness. Remind us, loving God, that your desire for us is to deepen and build up our graces, that we might share that grace with others. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of Deuteronomy. I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. You can follow along on page 186 of your pew Old Testament. Let us listen a third time for God's holy word. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We stand on the foundation of our memory. Our memories are who we are. They are what make us up as persons, and we trust our memories. I know I certainly do. I have a steel trap mind, or so I tell myself, even though that steel trap does sometimes feel like it's been left out in the woods for a couple of decades. We have our stories in our memories, our stories of the world, our stories of ourselves, cast together from those things we have experienced, those events in our lives that have shaped us, that we know we recall, those stories that we recall. And we get those stories, or at least I do, I get them from reading. And reading is and has always been an important part of who I am as a person. And so the stories that are most precious to me are the old stories, the oldest one. I have this particular fondness for those old memories of the books that populated the first few years of my life. As I realized, I can read, I can see these things, I can experience these stories. Those stories are a big part of my memory of myself. Like, I remember and still love Go Dog Go. Anyone read Go Dog Go? I think that is why I have a lifelong love of cars and dogs, and dogs driving cars, which is probably why my dog is so confused when I try to get her to learn how to parallel park. I loved that book. I remember The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. I didn't have The Cat in the Hat itself when I was a kid. I had The Cat in the Hat Comes Back, so I remember that one first. I remember the magical mess of Things 1 and Thing 2. I remember the book Sam and the Firefly. Anybody have Sam and the Firefly? Kind, trusty Sam the Owl and Gus the mischievous anarchist Firefly messing everything up. I must have read that book 100 times, and I'm sure that has nothing to do with the fact that my firstborn son's first name is Sam and his middle name is August. I'm sure there was no subliminal stuff there. I remember Are You My Mother? Anyone read Are You My Mother? I had it at home, and it was also at the dentist, which I would read at the dentist, and I would worry so much about that little baby bird, and especially when the shovel, I mean, that was a scary shovel. That was a really, it's like, no, and then, oh, it's there, back in the nest. I remember Ferdinand the Bull. Oh, I loved Ferdinand the Bull, sweet, gentle Ferdinand, and those intricate line drawings of those fabulous castles in Spain. How can a drawing of ink, it's black and white, how is it so warm? I mean, there's just such a warmth. You just want to go to that place, and you're like, oh, so nice. I remember clear as corduroy. Anyone read corduroy? I loved corduroy, the little bear in the store, the poor little bear missing his button, and you're like, oh, I want someone to love and buy that bear so much. I remember Snowy Day. Anyone have Snowy Day? That was just fabulous, because I read it and I was this little boy living in Kenya, and I'm marveling at this little boy living in New York, and there's snow. There's snow in this place that he's living, amazing, miraculous snow that I could only imagine in the far-off land of America that my parents told me about. I loved those books, and I remember, I do, the Berenstain Bears. Good old Papa Goofy making a mess of things no matter what he does. The Berenstain Bears are as clear in my mind as can be, only they're not. They're not the Berenstain Bears at all. They are, as I was surprised to discover last year, the Berenstain Bears, written by Jan and Stan Berenstain. What? Now, I learned to read. I was taught to read phonetically. I was taught to understand letters as sounds and as combinations of sounds, clear phonemes that stood in relationship to one another. And English is a tetchy language, but I was always taught, if you don't know a word, sound it out. I can hear my mom telling me that as I was working my way through books. And I remember the Berenstain Bears, but S-T-A-I-N is never pronounced Steen, not ever, not never. And my memory of those books is as clear as crystal, as solid as my certainty that it is not the Bat in the Hat comes back, as solid as my memory that it is not Dan and the Firefly. It's the Berenstain Bears, and I'm not alone in this. There are apparently thousands on thousands and thousands of souls who remember those books about the silly bear family and goofy old Papa in precisely the same way. Berenstain, Berenstain, it's Berenstain! And yet when I go downstairs to my basement, to the very book I read as a child, sitting there on the shelf with all the Dr. Seusses, and there it says, Berenstain. And I look at it, and it looks wrong. It's the wrong word. It's the wrong word in the wrong place. But no matter how hard I stare at it, it is unchanged, Berenstain. This is confusing. I chalk it up to a glitch in the matrix. Or, more likely, a minor fold in the fabric of the multiverses. Two slightly variant universes collided, leaving us with a stain on our Baron, and leaving them with a Sinbad genie movie that no one can remember making, including Sinbad himself. I mean, that has to be it. It cannot possibly be that my memory is wrong. We human beings are not always the best of witnesses, truth be told. We are creatures of subjectivity. We bend our recollections to the desires of our hearts. And from that, we create ourselves, but we also make false narratives, narratives that are formed out of the fabric of our desire and the limitations of our ability to know and really see. We are not the best witnesses. And that matters, it does, because truth matters. The real of what God has created matters. And so today in Scripture, we hear from the heart of Torah, from the foundation of God's covenant with Israel, we hear about witness that's needed. It's Deuteronomy. And funny thing about Deuteronomy is I realized as I was preparing for this sermon that in all my years of ministry, I've never once preached a sermon on the book of Deuteronomy. What? That's not possible. Well, change that now. Deuteronomy is a fascinating text. It's part of Torah. We get it from the name Deuteronomy, from the Greek words, deutero and nomos, meaning the second law. This is law received by the people of Israel later. And the story tells us that what we're hearing here is the voice of Moses as he stands before the gathered people of Israel, defining and affirming God's relationship with them. Here in chapter 30, Moses is delivering this soaring oration on how life-giving covenant is, how precious it is, how this relationship that God is forming with Israel, with the people who wrestle with God, how it will change their lives if only they embrace it. If you embrace this, it is life. Take this path, he asks them. This whole covenant, which we have heard laid out throughout this whole book, is a sacred path. And if you walk it, if you accept it as defining your life, it will change you. But it's a covenant. And so Moses tells the people, if there is to be a covenant, you have to have witnesses. Just as people gather to witness the covenant of marriage, just as you need a witness whenever you're signing a contract, you've got to have a witness to affirm this covenant. And who's called as a witness? What is the witness that Moses calls? He doesn't call anyone in the gathered people of Israel. He does not. They are party to that covenant. He doesn't call another people. He doesn't call people at all. He says, heaven and earth must be witnesses to this thing that we are making. Creation itself, the depth of the heavens, the foundation of the earth, that can bear witness to this covenant we are making. And that's actually not unusual for Scripture. Whenever covenant is made with God in Torah and in the prophets, God doesn't call just a random person. God says, you have got to look to creation for that. Six times we hear it. And there's a reason for this. Creation, the sinless work of God's own hands, can be trusted as a witness. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded of that. But here in this 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's significant because creation tells us there are things we are not going to get as people. There are things we're going to miss. There are things we're going to misremember. There are things we're not going to be able to see as persons. But creation can be trusted to bear witness to that covenant. And that is both a blessing and something of a conundrum. Because humankind has paradoxically gotten seemingly less good at being open to the witness of what God is working, to seeing where it is we stand in relationship to heaven and earth, and to, from that, understanding the integrity of our own lives. It's a weird paradox in this technological era. You would think as we deepen our knowledge of creation, as astronomy and space exploration open up our understanding of our place in the glorious vastness of what God has wrought, that we'd know more. But it feels like we find more and more ways to shut out that witness, to close off that telling. The heavens are my witness, says the Lord. The heavens are the witness, says Moses. But we're so busy bustling around with our lives that I don't know how much we acknowledge creation itself. I felt that strongly just about a day ago as I walked through the early evening. I was walking and my eyes were up and I was searching out the skies just for a glimpse of the moon. Anyone see what passed for an eclipse? No, it was clouds. I was like, It was just minor. It's just a faint penumbral dimming as the outer edge of the Earth's shadow brushed gray across the face of that snow moon. And I did see it. I saw it start before. It's like, oh, no. No clouds. But what struck me more as I walked through my neighborhoods and then into Annandale, eyes up, looking upwards, was that no one else was looking around. The other human beings were so busy. People bustling around their busyness, oblivious to the fact that the moon in the heavens was changing. It feels so often now like we are too busy to listen as the Lord speaks in words that surpass understanding. And the heavens are my witness, says the Lord, but where are our eyes turned? Do we experience God's work in creation around us to the point where we can acknowledge that God is deeply, deeply vested there? Where are our eyes turned? Our eyes are set on our screens or on the road. We are blinded by the things that we must see, blinded by the light of our screens, blinded by the light we pour into the sky. What we see is our own light. What we want to see is the light we have made, to the point where I'm not sure we acknowledge God's work in creation as we could. Just a little over a year ago, I had the pleasure of visiting a small peninsula on the Pacific coast of Costa Rica. My family stayed in a lovely little inn up on a crag overlooking the ocean, and the Wi-Fi there was terrible, and there was nothing to do. You couldn't stream anything. You couldn't be on Facebook. You couldn't. It was terrible, terrible, no Wi-Fi. And so there was nothing to do but read and go for walks in the night. And because we were so close to the sea, we decided, you know, we're going to walk. We're going to go down to the beach and look up at the night sky. And so we did. We ventured down this long, it's like about, we were right on the water, but to get to it, it's this long journey down through jungle on this rocky, sandy path, guided only by the LED brightness cast from our smartphones. You know, even without Wi-Fi, it's like, I'm so glad I have the smartphone. Followed along. And when we got to the beach, we turned the lights off, and we blinked, and our eyes adjusted, and it was absolutely dark. It was completely dark. Not like here, not like it is in Annandale. It was inky, deep, pitch black. I mean, even out here in Poolsville, you're still embedded in the lights of the great urban megaplex that runs from D.C. all the way up to New York, pouring light up into the heavens. But there, the only analogy I can think is the story my brother told me about what it was like when he first got glasses as a kid. Because he thought that the world was a blur. You know, the teacher's face was a blur. The blackboard where he was supposed to be reading his assignments was just always a blur, which is why he could never keep up with anything. And then there was the day we got him glasses, and suddenly he could see, and it was like the whole world was different. It was like that, looking up into that night sky, because that sky was not, you know, you look up at the stars here, there's a speckle here, there's a speckle there. There on that beach, there were more stars than darkness. It was a great mass of stars. The Milky Way was bright. I mean, it was bright. It was this brilliant band of light across the sky. And that we don't see, because our own light has drowned it out. And the people of Israel could hear, "The heavens are my witness, says the Lord." They who in Judea would have stood under that bright sky pressing down and seen how complex and glorious it was. But we prefer our own lights. The lights we fashion with our own hands, the lights of our rush and our bother, never ending even when night falls, the lights of our preconceptions, the lights of our memories, the lights of the ideologies we set before us, the things we are sure we know because we are sure we know them. And it doesn't matter what creation says, it doesn't matter what reality is. And that is a danger. Because when we can't see creation anymore, it becomes harder and harder for us to acknowledge its affirmation of this covenant God wants with all of us, a covenant of love and justice that changes reality itself, that reality affirms. This is how we as living creatures are meant to live. This is the law that is set before us, the law of all living, sentient creatures. Keep your eyes open, then, to that witness of the real. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Life lately, particularly the life that is mediated to us by our screens and our inputs, life can feel stressful and broken and angry. People are mad at each other all the time, everywhere, getting into fights. It just feels tense out there. If the out there is your iPhone or your Android or your Chromebook or whatever brand laptop you might happen to be using, everything feels tight and stressful until you set it down and you leave it at home and you get outside and you go for a walk. And yes, the weather's a little weird, but creation doesn't feel quite as tense. Might be a little windy, might be a little warm, and then suddenly cold, and then snowing, and then summer. But it doesn't have that same feeling. It feels like God's work. It feels calm, and it feels at peace. And in the bustle and rush of our lives, and in the stress of our culture, it's easy for that to take over our hearts and become the thing that blinds us to each other. Creation, the reality in which we live, speaks a little differently. And it's a voice that is wordless, and it's a voice that's hard to hear. But if you find in your life like you have no time to listen to it, it's all cars and screens, and then home to screens, and then off to cars, and then sleep, and then screens, whatever order you do it in. If you find yourself in that cycle, and you find your heart filled with fear and stress, set them down for a minute. Let me commend to you in this time the witness of creation and the blessings of a good long walk in the woods. I offer that to you just because I have found that medicinal of late. Creation's witness is summoned for a reason in Scripture, because in its vastness, God's work calms us and centers us and reminds us of what a blessed place we have on this sweet little earth of ours. So if you've been feeling a little bit of that lately, a little bit of, I'm mad about everything, everywhere, take that time. Listen for the witness of creation, because just as it is so vital in Scripture, it's important for our souls too. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be with us and abide with us this day and always. Amen.